Our scripture is on Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23, and we have Julia reading for us today.
Today's scripture is from the 13th chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed fallen on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The word of God for the people of God.
Pray. God, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the different ways that you use your scripture to transform our lives. And today we want to listen directly from you and allow that to become a source of our transformation. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are right now in all of these different topics related to being rooted. We can be rooted in so many things. Some of them can be very fruitful. Some other ones are not probably a good idea. But what we are trying to remember is who we are and how are we rooted as United Methodist Church. And we have been remembering great things that we have learned as part of our history in this denomination and how God has used many people to guide us in this direction. One of the things is we remember that as United Methodists, we are called also the religion of the heart. And again, remember that John Wesley is using some of these terms very different than what we expect today, reminding us we have a foundation. How can they be together? And what happens is that Wesley is reminding us we have a foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the place where our religion is grounded. And our religion that is in our brain is connected with our emotions so that we have that passion to continue in sharing that scripture with everyone around. The other thing we remember is grace. Grace is beautiful and is one of the most wonderful things that we learn in the United Methodist denomination and as Christians, is that grace, that gift that God has provided. And sometimes we are not aware, but God has provided that gift even before we even thought about ourselves as Christians. Then we have that opportunity to receive that grace and say, you know, I don't want that to be part of a story far away. I want that grace to be part of my own story. And after that, we know that it is through grace that we are challenged to grow. As United Methodists, we understand that our relationship with Christ is not just that moment when you receive Christ. We expect to change. We expect to have a life that has a different fruit because of that relationship with God. It shapes us very different. We also learn about holiness. And for Wesley, to be holy was a person who's unleashed to be able to do and to serve and to thrive in life because of what God has given to that life. And last week we talked about faith and good works. How is that they are connected? A person who's coming with a relationship with Christ as a side effect will have all these good works where we will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're learning about risk-taking. But to get there, and the scripture that we read, probably all of you have read it before. Raise your hand. You have read it before. But we need to remember what is the context of what we're talking in here. And Matthew is a gospel that talks to us about the kingdom of heaven. He calls it like that, the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean? You know, sometimes it's difficult for all of us to understand the value of when God says the kingdom of heaven because we do not live in a monarchy. So usually in our brain, it's hard to understand that. But when you go and try to explore more about the context, you understand that kingdom of heaven is based on the understanding of a kingdom that was very common at that time. So what makes a kingdom? And a kingdom had different things that were very important. It's a territory, but to contain and to maintain that territory as part of that kingdom, there were different things that were important. One of us is that the power. How do you get there? How can you keep that kingdom? And in many cases was through having very good army. In some other ones will be probably more about strategy, but the power was important to maintain the kingdom strong and specially connected. The other thing is ownership. It meant that Ahaz was in charge of them, capable to deal with all of that area and be the one in charge of them. That was the ownership. But also, it was an identity. It was very important in the kingdom that people in that place will understand their culture as being part of that big kingdom. So when we see it like that, it makes sense. That's a kingdom. So when God is telling us we are part of the kingdom of heaven, it shapes this idea in a different way. But we need to understand what God is telling us as the kingdom of heaven. He's coming and he's also shaking the idea of the expectation of the people at that time. They were expecting that the Messiah was going to establish a kingdom with these different things. And Jesus did, but not in the way they thought. Jesus also was sharing and saying, this is a territory. But what we need to remember with Jesus is the territory of Jesus goes beyond earth. The territory of Jesus is eternal. So what he's saying is like, let me show you where are we, all of us belonging. What is mine? And when we look in the Bible and when we learn about God, tell me what belongs to God. Just some things? Everything. So just think about how big is his territory. So that is his kingdom. Now he's coming to conquer his kingdom also with power. But the power of the Lord Jesus Christ was not the power expected of the army that was strong or the disciples. And if we learn about the disciples, the last thing that you could think about them was power, right? I mean, they were gossipers, they were conflicting, insecure people. I mean, they just were not probably your best warriors in many ways. So that's why we have hope, guys. We have hope. But you see, the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had was the power of his chesed. What does chesed mean? Loving kindness in Hebrew. Guys, we have been doing this for 7 years. I mean, I'm going to give you a chance class if you don't get it. But because you guys know, chesed is that love of God. Just God can love in that way. It's the love that he has compassion to come with all of us. It's a love of covenant. When he's coming and telling you, I want to be in a relationship with you. This is the amazing truth of our God. He's not a God who's just trying to come and lead you. It's a God that is coming to become your friend and to walk with you in life. So through that, that's the power that he has to be able to conquer his kingdom. It is because of love that we are Christians. Amen? It is because one day that love, through his grace, came and interrupt your story. And then you realize that where you were before God wasn't making sense and wasn't bringing hope to you. But when Jesus came and interrupted you with his love, your life changed. Amen? And that goes over and over because there are many times where you and I, we're going to struggle and we're going to feel like nobody or nothing, or there is no way that you can be a person that can be loved. We can be nasty sometimes, right? If not, ask the person sitting next to you and maybe you're going to agree. But you know, we can all have those moments. And there are times when the worst thing that can happen is that we ourselves do not feel that we can love ourselves. But we find this God with this love conquering you and just coming and interrupting that brokenness of you, that sinful situation. And with his love, he brings healing. And after you understand who you are in that power of love, there's nothing else that can conquer your heart. But that's his power. Then his ownership. When you are part of God's kingdom, you are part of the body of Christ. And when the body of Christ is being used according to God's plans, nothing can stop it. It's amazing what the body of Christ can do, empowered by God. But then also our identity, who we are. You see, there are things that we do that are culturally sensitive. There are things that happen in every culture based on how people relate to each other. For example, the biggest adventure you can have in life is to have a child in a bicultural marriage. Because you don't know this, but when you are a baby, if you are a Mexican baby, because it's cold outside, you're gonna catch the flu. That's what we believe. Then the American culture, you say yes or no. No, you say the only way you can catch the flu is because of germs. Yeah, because American culture believe germs are very powerful, right? You know, but then you have a baby with a Mexican grandmother and an American husband, and you're exhausted. And the baby's crying. And your husband discovered that if he puts a lot of blankets and takes the baby outside in Ohio with 20 degrees outside, the baby will calm down. I'm not quite sure if that was a good technique anyway. I think the poor child was just frozen. But anyway, according to the husband, he'll be fine. Nothing is going to happen, his brother. Because she was just like cursing in English and Spanish, Italian, whatever language she found, of like, how in the world my son-in-law is doing that to my grandchild and trying to convince me that I needed to convince that husband that he's crazy because how he's taking that child. And I'm like, if that gives me 10 minutes of a break, take it. You know, I don't care. I just need to sleep a little bit. So I remember that. And all of that is 100% culture. Is it one right or wrong? You will keep saying it's because of the germs. But Mexicans will keep saying it's because of the cold. And in heaven, we will know what's really the truth. You know, we don't know. But one thing is culture shapes 100% how you see the worldview and how you behave in this worldview. So think about when the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you, find your identity, first of all, over everything as a Christian. How will you behave? How will you see life? How will you see temptation? How will you see struggles and problems? How will you face daily life when you understand that identity? You see, there are times when we can say, as a person, me, Lupina, I don't think I can handle that problem. If it's coming in my own way and according to my own capacity. But as a member of the kingdom of heaven, as a child of God, and as a person capable to know that we have a Holy Spirit that is walking with us every time, then we can say, I can handle that. I can deal with that. You know, that problem is difficult and perhaps before will kill me. But as a member of the kingdom of God, I find that in the name of Jesus Christ, I can step of faith and handle that situation. We behave different according to that culture. So before any other culture that we have, Mexican, American, who else is from another place here? Any Japanese around? You know, anyway, okay. Any culture that is represented in this place, over that, we are Christians. Amen? Over that, we're going to walk in this world knowing the capacity that you have as a child of God. So this is the background of that parable that we learned today. So you need to have this in mind because look at this. So here we find Jesus telling this story to the disciples and to a group of people. He has had a hard time before this chapter. Because he's trying and he's struggling with these people coming and telling him who's supposed to be Christian, how the Christian's supposed to behave, who are the rights and the wrongs. So he's dealing with that. So it's not quite the best scenario before that. So in the midst of that, he starts giving these parables and these stories that explain about the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things he says talking about this sower. And he gives different scenarios. And he says, this guy is just planting these seeds. And he plants them wherever he can. And some of them fall where? Which is the first one? Just in the street, in the road. And what happened with those seeds is that some birds just come and they say, snacks, and take them, you know? And sometimes it's that is the kind of people who are just trying to learn about the gospel. But in the first trouble and struggle, they're gone. Then there is another group, the group of the rocks, right? The rocks, what happens is sometimes they can keep a little bit of moist. So there are some seeds that it seems that they are growing, but because there is no root, that's what it says. Because there is no root, there is no growth, and they die. This is why, for me, it's so important, guys, that when there is deep in the Word of God, because that will bring us that root to know the truth. But when there is no root, they die. Then he talks about another one, the thorns. This is kind of sad, because these are some of those seeds that are trying to grow. And at the beginning, you can see them. They are growing. They are starting to kind of gain a little bit of strength. But because of those thorns, because of the problems, they feel overwhelmed and then die. But then you have these seeds where we all want to be in this section, right? These are the seeds that were in the right place with the right amount of water, the right location, and they were able to grow and just flourish in many ways. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. But when we listen to this, while the seeds are important in the story, there is another section that is very important in the story, and that is the guy who's planting all of this. Now, what does the scripture says? Is it saying you are going to plant just in those places that you are 100% sure that they are going to grow? You are not allowed to try anywhere else, but just where it is going to happen, and it is going to happen good. You're going to invest just in there. Is that what the scripture said? No, where he needed to plant? Everywhere. Everywhere. So this guy needed to maintain that attitude of saying, I'm just going to try everywhere. And that's exactly the point of today's scripture, that risk-taking. There are going to be times where God is going to call us to plant his love everywhere. It doesn't matter how is it going to look. And in some cases, probably you are not going to see the end result. But the point is, do not try just to say, I'm going to plant just where it seems that potential is going to grow. You're called to say, just do it, like Nike. Just go and do it. Just start planting. Just start sharing. Because at the end of the day, the fruit is not going to depend on the sower. The fruit is going to depend on where was that planted, on how God is moving in that person. You just go and plant. You just go and obey what God is calling you to do. You see, we have a great bishop who has wrote a lot of books. And one of those books was talking about those five practices of fruitful congregations. What are those churches that grow? And one of the aspects is this: risk-taking mission and service is part of our Christian growth. You see, as part of being Christian, you are going to be pushed out of your comfort zone. You get that? Have you been pushed out of your comfort zone? Raise your hand. If you haven't, God, look at that person. Do it. But you see, it's part of our expression of faith. Why? Because salvation involves Christian mission and service to the world. Because it's the way that you can see that you belong to a bigger kingdom. But at the same time, you are capable to see the power of God used beyond your own story. Also, it's very important because through that you can also learn that the perspective of this kingdom of heaven is bigger than the perspective that this world can give us. There is this formula of the love of God that works in our lives. We receive God's love, and we are called to love God first. And after that, we're called to love who? Your neighbor and yourself. And because of that, you're capable to have passion for justice. You're capable to see this world according to God's eyes. And because of that also, you're called to have a renewal in the life of the world. You care for God's creation. When you have this math together, you understand this place. We are more. You understand exactly what God is calling us to do as Christians in this place. We are more than just our own life. It's deeper than that. Now, all of this sounds great, but there is something that we need to face. And I like how the bishop says that in one of his books. He says, part of the risk is that this doesn't work a lot of times, or that the difference we make is something that we don't see. We don't know. We can see the results. But out of obedience to Christ, we've got to try. And we just got to keep doing it. So we are called to take that risk regardless of the result. We are called to say, God, if you are sensing that God is moving you to take a risk, take it as a step of faith, even if you do not know how the end result will be. There will be times that you do not know what's going to happen. I remember one time we started a new church in Kentucky. And it was great. It was growing. It was thriving in many things. And then the church closed. When I heard about that, that was years later after I left, and I felt like, God, why did we invest there if at the end of the day, nobody's in that church anymore? Why to do that? But you see, later, I heard about one member of that church who was a Mexican Indian guy, Nacho. Mexican Indian guy from a group of Indians that are called Chinantecos, that are isolated in Oaxaca. And this guy heard the gospel in that church in Kentucky, and he understood what it was that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save him. And he was almost dying, but he could see how God healed him. And through that healing, he says, I'm going to proclaim the truth. And he went back to Oaxaca, where right now is the very first pastor, the very first time that that village have the capacity to hear the gospel in their first language. So, was it a failure? Or was it a victory, but we didn't see it in that moment? You see, there are times when ministries will be like that. And there are people I admire in different ways. This is John Dongerdive. If I didn't work in the United States, I will go and work for him in India. This man is amazing. He was one of my classmates in seminary. I always got confused with his last name, Dongerdive, and I always say Godiva, like the chocolates. And but he just like was very patient with me. But Dongerdive, what he does is, that's one of the churches that they are leading. His grandfather was a Hindu. And when he was one time in a situation when people were dying of cholera, he realized that he was gonna die too. But somehow he felt there is another God, not this God that I had been introduced by the Hindu culture and religion. And he started praying to that God that he didn't know who he was. And after a while, he was able to be healed. And when he was healed, he kept saying, God, I want to know you. You, the one who healed me. Until a group of missionaries came and introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this guy said, you are that God who healed me. So from now on, I'm going to serve you. And for three generations, this family have doing schools, indigenous leadership, and they have also done orphanage for children. He has a risk-taking ministry. Another one is Bauta Moti, who I love, from Nigeria. Bauta, he wrote this letter. I just want you to see the last part. The terrorist targets are mostly Christians trying to demoralize Christians from spreading the word of God, creating restlessness and chaos. Bauta Moti is a pastor of around 5,000 churches in Nigeria. Every day that he leaves his house, he doesn't know if he's going to make it at the night because of the risk that he takes. What about right now that we're celebrating Black History Month? We have Rosa Parks, who says, you must never be fearful about what you're doing when it is right. So all of these are examples of people capable to do a risk-taking ministry. Perhaps we can think in our ministry center as that. But you see, I don't think we are risking in the sense of because we're going to a different community or whatever. That community is not that risky. You know what's risky? Is that when we interact with each other and when we open ourselves with another culture, we become vulnerable. We become learners and listeners. And in that process, we become open to change. That's where the risk comes. When our own challenges, when our own things that we consider with value, they are changing because we're exposed to another culture. So we are called as Christians to be risk takers. But I want you to remember, where do we ground this? We don't ground them in people just with a lot of feeling brave. We don't ground that in our own qualities. We ground them because we have kingdom vision. We ground them because we understand that I invite you today in the name of Jesus, let's just jump to that kingdom vision. Let's just say, you know, maybe it's not making sense for anyone else. Maybe it's too crazy, but in the name of Jesus, if God is calling you to do something wild, something that you feel incapable, but you know God is calling you, go and do it in the name of the Lord. Because what God is needing right now is people who are brave by His power. And you are one of them. Do you get it? You are one of them. Because we are here in the kingdom of God, in this church, to make a difference to these people that are coming in here. So Deborah can become a proclaimer of the faith to others. So can we all together agree? I am not going to let the generation of Deborah die without knowing the love of Christ. But I'm going to be intentional in being that person that takes a risk so others can know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand up and proclaim that we belong to the kingdom. Together.